Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the right side. Radio. Well, you know, I've been a traveling fool, and I continue to be a traveling fool. I believe I spoke to you last from Nebraska. I'm now speaking to you from Idaho. Beautiful state. And Idaho State Fair starts today in Blackfoot, the Eastern Idaho State Fair. Been attending that event, or the publishers have had me attending that event for a number of years. Great folks out here. I think half the state of Idaho reads the books. I'm going to give you a very, very, very quick book update on book four. And then we're going to talk about, we're going to have a little history story, of course. And then we're going to talk very briefly about some international events playing out and some political events playing out. And this show will be brief also. AM stations will fill in. They're all alerted with good stuff for you listeners. And those of you on the podcast, rather than sitting there and listening to me drone on for an hour and a half, can go about your Saturday morning or whenever you listen to it. Stuff. Well, Let's start off with the international, shall we? First of all, although the press, and I have not been able to pay as close as attention as I normally do, obviously, over the last week, but I have noticed that the press has almost nothing to say about Venezuela. They have very little to say about Iran. Except to pound on Trump, they have very little to say about China. And I'm not sure I've seen the word Russia, except in their newfangled collusion theories. Yeah, that's right. NBC and CNN are still on the Russian collusion thing. It's really rather remarkable. So I'm going to bring you up to speed very briefly on those four critical international situations. And by the way, they're just the tip of the iceberg. There's a bunch of other things bubbling that the press hasn't covered at all. On Iran. Okay, Iran is a dangerous, hate-filled country run by folks who are religious zealots who really hate us and hate Israel and hate democracy, and hate infidels. Under Iran's tutelage, the Christians in the Mideast have been virtually wiped out. In the beginning, it was ISIS, with Iran kind of cheering them on. And then it is the militias and other Islamists, radical extremists, who have been continuing the persecution and genocide of Mideast Christians. All of which, by the way, is provided for in the Quran. Infidels basically convert or die. I mean, it's right in their quote-unquote Bible. Iran, folks, is an interesting country in that in the destruction and death of millions, tens of millions, billions of people, a global holocaust, the leaders of Iran, who are members of the sect of the 12th Imam, who doesn't come unless there's like world holocaust. And the 12th Imam is kind of like, not quite, but I'm going to give you the analogy anyway, like the coming of Christ to the Christians. The coming of the 12th Imam is that to the Iranian leadership sect of Islam. So you're dealing with folks who, A, hate us, B, have in their minds have nothing to lose and everything to gain by creating global Holocaust, and C, because of Obama and his ties to Iran, his ties to Islam, and his right-hand arm, Valerie Jarrett, born in Tehran, Iran, has put them on the path toward a nuclear weapon, which, by the way, they were advancing on quite rapidly without his kind assistance. $150 billion and $1.8 billion in cash that he shipped to them on pallets in 30 different currencies on two C-130 transports, an illegal and felonious act, I might add, without any congressional approval. Iran is really dangerous. I have said for years that I believe Israel, supported by the United States, will launch a first strike against Iran, likely with tactical nuclear weapons, because under Obama's 8 years and the 1 or 2 years that the agreement, the so-called agreement between America and the Iranians, between American and the Iranians and the other, six European countries, under that agreement, Iran could develop a bomb after 10 years. And in the meantime, there was no inspections. Literally, no inspections. They had to have 24-day, not 24-hour notice of any inspections by any of these other countries, and the United States was not allowed to inspect. They greatly advanced their nuclear capabilities. They've now ramped them up another notch. And Israel will not tolerate Iran getting the bomb. If this was not an election year, I believe that that would have happened already. I think the only thing saving Iran, and I think that they know it, is that Trump doesn't want to get embroiled in that kind of conflict so close to 2020. I mean, the Iranians are not stupid. They are just different. And they're dangerous. The Iranian situation is going to continue to wreak havoc between now and next year's election within the Mideast, globally. And there's going to come a point in time where Israel's going to have to act, with or without the United States, and despite the U.S. election. So I would watch that very carefully if I were you, because if that erupts, it's going to have immediate and widespread and large repercussions in all facets of the Western world's economy, oil supply, oil prices, you name it. Second, let's talk about China. China continues to build its military at a rapid pace. Their first aircraft carriers are on the water. They've developed certain types of weapons designed specifically for American forces, carrier groups, etc. One of them is called, by the way, the Assassin's Mace. The United States is behind because of Obama. The United States is behind in developing countermeasures to these. And the Chinese military, although they don't have a means yet to transport them all, of 10 or 15 million, you can't get the exact numbers out of China, men is the largest on the planet. China has some problems. They have some economic problems, which are exacerbated by the tariffs. And by the way, I'm going to insert here shortly a discussion I had with some of our neighbors, the Democratic Nebraska, or the Nebraska Democratic Party, at the Nebraska State Fair. I think you'll find it interesting and humorous. China is another dangerous, dangerous adversary. And China, although the tariffs are kicking their butt far more than they're kicking the U.S. butt. I mean, the U.S. is, U.S. citizens are, yes, spending a little bit more for certain products, but it's also having the effect of having more products manufactured in the United States, less business in China, you name it. China's economy, which is overstretched, its financial system, which is overstretched, is being stretched even tighter. And China, a la them surrounding, not surrounding, but massing troops on the Hong Kong border, long a thorn in their side, by the way. They want Hong Kong under their total dominion, not kind of their quasi-cousin that runs around like capitalists with freedoms. You're going to see a more and more adventurous China, because they know that Trump's hands are tied, to some extent, with the economy also. And by the way, I support Trump's tariffs 100%. The folks who are getting hurt the most, unfortunately, are ranchers and farmers. But on the other hand, Trump has put in a program, $16.88 billion a year in assistance for those. If we don't break China's economic stranglehold, it might be too late. If we do not stop their infiltration of our education system, the brain drain that they have created, the intellectual property theft, including military and technology, we're going to have a big problem. One of the reasons Trump wanted to buy Greenland, even though many people chuckle about that, is that Greenland is rich in rare earth minerals. And there's a number of them. I'm not going to bore you with the names right now, but they are essential to building virtually everything technical and technological on the planet. From your cell phone to guidance systems in F-35 Tomcats. China has cornered the market. I mean, Obama did nothing. China rapidly expanded, counting on Obama's weakness and his innate hatred of America. And they now control vast quantities of resources, natural resources, around the planet. Australia, Africa, South America. Russia and China are tied in with Venezuela. Greenland is rich in rare earth minerals. Trump wanting to buy Greenland from Denmark has nothing to do with just wanting to have a big mass of land out there, you know, in the northern oceans. It has to do with rare earth minerals. China now controls 80% of the rare earth minerals on the planet. And it's this constriction of supply, which they could evoke, that has the United States worried. Once again, we're playing catch-up because of Obama and his Democratic minions. You know, kumbaya. Well, in Obama's case, it wasn't kumbaya. It was, I think, quite intentional. China knows the U.S. political system. I don't think there's going to be a deal on the tariffs. China would like nothing better than to see Trump not elected. I mean, they would simply love another Obama or worse in office in the United States. So look for them to create trouble, particularly trouble that would create bad press for Trump. Look for them to interfere in whichever way they can after they've seen this spectacle for the last 3 years contrived by the Democrats in the U.S. election, and look for them to do absolutely nothing that would make Trump look good in any way, shape, or form prior to November 2020. The Russians are the same. And the Russians, look, we know what we're dealing with there. We've always known what we're dealing with there. Devin Nunes gave the Obama administration intel agencies a report in 2014 warning them of what they were going to do in 2016, yet Obama did nothing. And, of course, Hillary actually colluded with them. But that's, we're not going to go down that rabbit hole. The Russians are going to be the same. They're going to exploit the fact that Trump's hands are tied prior to the election in many respects. And they're going to hope that Trump does not get reelected. And they're going to do everything they can within their political, military, geopolitical, and they're already demonstrated ways to meddle with American elections that they can to ensure that they're not dealing with Trump for another 4 years. The reactions of all these countries, and Venezuela, by the way, is the same. The reactions of all these countries, folks, are the reactions of adversaries who fear the current president of the United States and who understand that his policies are America first and, finally, them a distant second. There is no greater accolade, there's no greater backslap to Trump on what he's doing with foreign policy and the America first strategy in foreign policy than the animosity and the fear that our greatest adversaries hold for and of him. But all these events, anything could bubble at any time. All these events, or potential events, will affect you. They will affect the economy. They will affect your pocketbook. They will affect the price of your house. They will affect your business. They will affect jobs, therefore maybe your job. Many, many effects. Even though the press is not spending a lot of time on this stuff, may I suggest, listeners, that you do. I mean, I would, in addition to listening to this radio show, and listening to whichever other ones that you tune into, I would spend 10 or 15 minutes at least a week kind of boning up on those four, we'll call them foreign policy foes, and understanding where those situations are at as best you can, given the distortions by media and the distortions by, yes, the tech giants, who have their own agenda, which is anti-Trump, anti-conservative, and by the way, anti-you and me. I really hope you folks are not using Google anymore to search for things. Bing. Use Bing. Use anybody else. All right. Secondarily, I want to tell you about, I didn't want to say too much before the Nebraska Fair was over, and it's going to be over tomorrow. But our Democratic neighbors, and by the way, I got tons of emails commenting on that. People were just laughing that we of all people were sandwiched between the American flag, you know, the telescoping flagpoles, and the Nebraska Democratic Party on the other side. So when they were setting up, I didn't want to bring this up because I didn't want them to switch the table. When they were setting up, they put this long blue table slightly beyond their booth space. Gee, big surprise. That's kind of a big no-no at these events. They put this table with a blue tablecloth like out in front of their booth, right next to ours. I mean, right next to ours. And I went over to the guy who, nice young guy, who was kind of in charge of the setup and said, you know, that's just not going to work for me. There's no way that long blue table is going to be next to my booth. And, you know, he switched it. The long blue table went to the interior of the booth, and a table with a red tablecloth went out in front of the Democratic booth. I think you might get a kick out of that. Along the way, I got to speak to many of the folks that manned that booth. I've talked about that last week. They were bereft of facts. I mean, some of them were, like, unbelievable. One gal tried to tell me that Kamala Harris had never said she wanted to eliminate all private health insurance. Okay. Well, I had her look it up. I'm sure she used Google. I had her look it up, and suddenly she didn't want to talk to me anymore. Another guy called himself a peace activist, an older type, kind of looks like Bernie. And I went over to talk to him because I'm curious, you know. And we started discussing the Iranian deal that Obama did. And this guy was absolutely for the deal that Obama did. It didn't matter that the Iranians were free to get all ready to go and literally have a bomb within 90 days after the end of the 10-year period, which, by the way, folks, is only 5 years away. He said, well, that bought us peace for 10 years. And then he had his facts all wrong on the amount of cash they got. He told me that the $1.8 billion in cash shipped to them in the middle of the night was really their money. Beep. Incorrect. That was money from the United States Treasury. The $150 billion, which we should have never returned to them, was their money. Too bad. So sad. Possession is 90% of the law. So, it is impossible to talk with folks, even though they were very pleasant, except for this older guy. You know, once I started getting into facts with him, he didn't want to talk anymore. I mean, the conversation was over. He goes, well, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Oh, okay. Well, as I told him, if you're really for peace, and you're really for these incredible ideas like unilateral nuclear disarmament, better learn to speak Chinese in about a week. if you're really for the Iranian deal, if you're really against Israel, he was like rabidly against Israel, then if you're going to get those ideas across, buddy, you really need to talk to people. And, you need to deal with viewpoints and facts, which are facts, that are different than your fact set or what you think is your fact set. And you need to deal with other people's thoughts, or you're never going to get it done. Anyway, he shut down and clammed up. It was a very interesting time in Nebraska. I want to tell you folks that all the nonsense that's happening on the domestic political scene is just that, nonsense. And every time that the squad, AOC, Tlaib, Omar, by the way, all sorts of stuff bubbling with Tlaib and Omar. Omar is now kind of getting in deeper and deeper hot water as people find out more and more about her. And the felonies, the numerous felonies she's involved in, including tax fraud. But as they talk more and more, we get more and more votes. So one of the things you really want to do, even though you're going to shake your head and at times grit your teeth, try and get a laugh from what they're saying. Don't ignore it. Keep it in the back of your mind. Understand where they're coming from. But every time these folks and folks like them open their yappers and come out with their unbelievable stuff, it's more votes for us. More votes for us. I am going to bring you quickly up to speed on the book 4 release. So the books, as you know, are in transit, have been for about a week. It takes a while to filter through the system. This percolation to central distribution warehouses and then out to the warehouses and distributors that go out to various Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, you name it. It takes a while to percolate. I mean, it's just not overnight, not what you think at all, and you can't send stuff FedEx, obviously, because you're dealing with pallets of books, 800 to 1,200 books to a pallet. The publishers should have their books about a week before any of the other big outfits on Tuesday or Wednesday. And there's going to be in fact, they're sending out an email from the site right now, I believe, there's going to be an email that goes out to everybody who has booked four reservations, telling them to go ahead and hit the buy button if they want to buy from the publishers. And books should ship from the publishers probably by Wednesday of this coming week. Obviously, nothing's going to happen for the next 3 days because it's a holiday weekend. The books which are getting sorted out at various warehouses, etc., will probably start showing on computer screens at bookstores, Barnes & Nobles, etc., everywhere, sometime the first few days of the week after next. In other words, the 8th or 9th, give or take, or whatever those dates are, that Monday, Tuesday after this week. Anyway, when the email comes out from the publishers, all you folks who have reservations can hit the buy button. The publishers will have books shipped to you within 24, give or take, hours of receiving your order. And it's very easy. You know, your reservation goes away. It's replaced by the purchase of the book. Nebraska got its first shipment of books, of book fours in. They were sold out in a day and a half. They got their second shipment, albeit rather small, 72 books, in the night before last, Thursday night. And I would assume that they're going to be gone rather quickly, too. Idaho, which is where I'm at, the shipment of 380 plus or minus books arrived. So we have those for the signing event. I don't imagine they're going to last for the entire event, and I would imagine they're going to go relatively quickly. So that's the scoop on the books. And Barnes & Noble and Amazon, week after next, should be getting their books, showing them on their computers. You folks who are buying from those outlets, and once again, I really think Barnes & Noble, even if it's a buck or two more, is the way to go if you want a bookstore in your life and the life of your children, your grandchildren in the future. Those books should be shipping, and you should be able to purchase them sometime the week after this coming. And there'll be an email that goes out. We'll be posting it on our social media, so you'll be completely up to speed. Until then, you're wasting your time, folks. To call Barnes & Noble or try and reserve a book, they won't do it. If it's not showing in their system, is in the warehouses, they cannot and will not help you. So wait for our email. Don't fire until you see the whites of their eyes. Pretend you're on the Bunker Hill of books. All right. And we're going to end this show with our historical story. So it's 1862, give or take August 29th, to be exact. 1862. There was this businessman in the state of Virginia. The Civil War is ongoing. His property had been kind of in the middle of several battles, and he's kind of overlooking the ruination that had befallen his acreage and his home and his grocery. His name was Wilmer McLean, McLean. His house and some land was in a small township called Manassas Junction. For you folks who are history buffs and Civil War buffs, you know that Manassas Junction was in the ebb and flow of the Civil War for years in 1862, 1863, and slightly before and slightly after that time period. A year earlier, in 1861, the Confederates had taken his house, commanded as a command post. And the battle was Bull Run. So that was the command post for the Battle of Bull Run by the Confederates. And the Union forces, figuring out where the headquarters were, lofted a few cannonballs into poor McLean's house while the Johnny Rebs were using it as their headquarters. Anyway, the Rebs routed the Blues, and McLean kind of looked over his damaged home and figured he would stay. You know, I mean, the war has moved on. I mean, lightning doesn't strike twice. But on this day, actually yesterday, August 29th, 1862, just a year later, McLean had to rethink. In the preceding 2 days, August 27th and August 28th, 1862, it was the second battle of Bull Run, which, by the way, was again won by the Confederates, and troops had again, from both armies, run over, nearly ruined his property after he'd fixed it all up from the first fiasco. So McLean said he's going to sell. He packed up his family. He moved to what he thought was a quieter section of Virginia away from the war. And everything went great for like 3 years. And then here comes fate. In April of 1865, McLean found himself facing a Confederate colonel sitting astride a horse. "Sir, we're looking for a house to use," said the colonel to poor McLean. McLean must have had a heart attack. And being familiar with the "we need a house to use" ploy, who knows what he might have said. But in any event, Colonel Marshall, the Confederate colonel, was quite taken with McLean's house, which McLean had dolled up. It had windows, it had furniture, it had drapes, all that kind of stuff. And McLean's house was commandeered by the Confederates. And the name of this place where he had his house was the Appomattox Courthouse, for you history buffs. Quite a big deal. The McLean house would be used, folks, by Lee and Grant to sign all the paperwork ending the Civil War. So after signing the surrender, Lee leaves, Grant leaves, and a general by the name of General Ord, Union, said that he would pay McLean $40. That's $40 for the table on which the end of the Civil War documents were signed by Lee and Grant. And when McLean said that he really would like some more money, General Ord said, "No, you know, 40 bucks or I'll just take it." So he got 40 bucks for a table that's probably worth, I don't know, you know, 10, 20, 30 million dollars, who knows what. It seems that all the soldiers, by the way, wanted souvenirs. I mean, they saw the general get the table for 40 bucks. So they were taking chairs, upholstery, drapes, and bric-a-brac, and they weren't paying anything. So bottom line is, poor McLean, for the third time, had his house looted, in this case by the Union Army. And, you know, it brings us back to that old cliche, you can't win for losing. All right, folks, that is the end of this, today's radio show. I am hoping that all of you have a most terrific week, and I am hoping that all of you follow my advice and follow these international events, any one of which could go from an abscess to a deep and bloody wound with great effect on you, your family, your finances, your security, and who knows, the future of the United States in terms of politics, and therefore Constitution. I did not cover, as you folks well know, the globalism theme that I was pounding on prior to really getting into this traveling mode, shall we say, which, let me tell you, is it's a cojone buster. Can't even tell you what a grind it is. But it's fun. I'm looking forward to seeing all my friends in Idaho. The folks in Nebraska were terrific. I mean, saw hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of readers. Got to talk with them. And it's really enjoyable. But, you know, I must tell you that I can't wait to get back to the ranch. And then we will really embark on this globalism theme, which I've given you just a taste of. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. I hope everything is going better than well for you and continues to do so.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.